Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. How are you all out there? I hope everybody's doing awesome. And time's just a flying by. And we are going today, you get me today. We're not going to have a guest on today. We've got a lot of information. But we're going to just talk about millennials and a lot going on with millennials. They've got a huge amount of going on. We're going to go through a lot. And we're going to talk about why they're not buying houses, what they're thinking, you know, what's the reasoning. A lot of you would think, well, maybe they can't afford it, but there are many that can afford it, and they're still not buying houses as much as what you would think. So we're just going to get in. If you haven't want to share your thoughts, call 347-945-5428. And, it's going to be fun because millennials are looking at about, 23 to 39 years old. We're talking right now in 2020. And then you've got the Gen Xers above, and then you've got, it's just amazing what's going on. And I just want to dig in a little bit because they should be buying. They should be investing. It's really never too early to invest. And, So we're going to go through all the steps and just see what you think. And if for those of you agents and brokers listening to this, there's a lot to learn, a lot to tune into, because the way that we approach people in business really does differ with different age groups, you know, especially now with social media. And, I mean, the way that we used to market years ago has changed drastically, although, you know, good old postage stamp and paper still works because not as many people are using it. But, so it's pretty fun. But millennials, oh, my gosh, you know how us older folks would say, if we knew then what we know now, just imagine. So for those of you that everybody knows millennials, tell them, get out there and invest. Don't be afraid. There's ways to do it in, you know, easy ways you don't have to be afraid of it and lose very much at all. And so we will be right back.
We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
We are back, and this is Natalie Mullinex, and you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. It's so funny when I hear that, like, about the real estate menu systems and the programs, and we were just little guys starting it out years and years ago. When I first started it out in Maryland, people would say, what are you talking about? What are you doing? And now it's more of the way of the future. You see all these disruptions in our industry, people offering flat fee programs, full service, buyer rebate programs. And we've incorporated all that into a menu system and have affiliates and members that are with their own companies or with other companies that offer the same programs. And it's pretty cool. It's just, it's been funny for me to watch it, the transition all these years, and just see that future kind of going. We know this is going to work, and it really does. But then we, you know, the old tried and true still works too. We have the basics, and it's so important to do all of it. So, hey, why aren't millennials buying more homes, and why aren't they investing? Come on, you know, compound interest is so important, and if you put a little bit away now and put a little bit away consistently, it can grow into huge amounts of money. So, we're going to go through it. And one, I bet you people would say affordability, okay? Well, buying a home isn't easy if the affordability gap continues to widen. But we literally are finding that with the rates so low, a lot of millennials, even though they have a lot of student debt, are actually able to qualify, and they don't know. So if you're listening to this, tell them. If you're a millennial, get on the phone or get on the computer and see what you qualify for. You guys can always call us, you know, go to realityuniversal.com, fill out the contact us form, call. But it's as simple as you looking on your phone right now and saying, what do I qualify for? And watch out for scams, but find out. Because many people think they can't, and you can. And NAR was saying that the home affordability index for first-time buyers had dipped to 92.5. A value of 100 means that a family with a medium income has exactly enough to qualify for a medium-priced home. The index is actually getting lower. It's more affordable. A lot of the millennials are saying they don't want to relocate and leave jobs, friends, and family in order to buy a home. Nowadays, with telecommuting, many people can keep their jobs and still work far away, but not far away because they're able to work from home. So it's a lot is happening, and it's a different mindset. A lot of the millennials saw us older folks, working a lot extra harder, a lot harder. So the mindset shift has really changed, but I think it's really important to give the knowledge so they know to start still buying and saving. A lot of marriage delays. People, millennials, are not getting married as young. They're living at home or living with relatives, and that's a big thing too, which in my mind I think, well, if you're living at home, living with other relatives, why aren't you saving more money? Save more money to have that, you know, buying power. Lending has gotten much tighter, but now here we're talking in 2020, it's loosening up more, and it's actually loosening up more across the states. Now, we're talking about the United States here, and we end up dealing with people in many other places just because of what we do with Realty Universal and what many of us are doing now. While we're talking, we're having this coronavirus outbreak. The stock market keeps plunging, and there's a lot of fear out there. And fear, I've always said, is false evidence appearing real. Don't take into the fear. Don't go into the fear because, for example, the coronavirus, this too shall pass. We have to be careful. We always have to be careful and take extra precautions. The stock market going down, if anybody has some money and you want to talk to an investor, I don't want to be giving investor advice and take that literally. And but if they have extra money and they talk to an investor or talk to a broker, and invest, because right now is a good time to buy. So, you know, there's always there's always something to invest in. Now, many, or if you start your own business, that's an investment. But it's so important. It's just sad that millennials are staying away from it. They're not finding the joy. Now, I agree, you may not want to go buy a $1 million house, but there's a good rule of thumb out there. If you're when you buy, especially your first home, it's a good rule of thumb to make sure, even if you qualify for more, that wherever you're buying, buy where your mortgage payment's not going to be higher than what you could rent the property out for. And as far as a tax write-off, you're going to get tax write-offs on that. And you can, when you buy a house, you get extra exemptions. Now, the new laws came into effect in the last 2 years giving automatic extra exemptions, but that may not stay forever. So when you buy, you're still going to know that you're going to get appreciation, you're going to have the write-offs, unless you really buy too high. And it's very easy to get in touch with a real estate broker, an agent. Of course, we can help you with any of that, of course. You can, in for any area, you just go in and fill out our form, and then we can place you or help you too before that. But but the thing is, you want to invest. But if you buy, if you think, okay, I don't want to buy, if you're thinking, millennials are thinking, I don't want to buy and be stuck with something and then not be able to move, always buy what you know you can rent out. So if you decide you want to move 5,000 miles away or 2,000 or go out of the country and go take a year trip or whatever you think you may want to do, and you're thinking that house is holding you up, you could, what if you can rent it and cover the mortgage? There's a whole other host of things that come up with rentals, but there's also more positives than negatives if it's handled properly and if you really, really set a plan and investigate and do your due diligence. So if you do, if you look at it that way, it's not as much of a risk, right? But you want to, you would be buying the home to live in it, but just knowing that if you go in the house and you live in it, say you live in it 6 months or a year, or mentally when you're looking at buying it and you go, I don't want to be stuck, I want my freedom, as long as you know you could rent it out. So that's just my advice to a millennial, that if you, you know, you're not going to buy a $1 million house that you can't rent out. But if you buy something, say it's $200,000 to $300,000, and or just say your payments, you know, $1,500, $2,000, and the rentals are more than that, you're fine. You know, and so buy within your means, but with your plan so you don't feel stuck. So this way you're covering yourself. High levels of student debt said hit, it's Investopedia, over $1.5 trillion. It's probably higher than that now. But it said that more than 50% of homebuyers under the age of 36 said that student debt was delaying their home buying. Apartment List estimates that while college grads without student debt need to save about 7.6 years for 20% down payment, those with debt need to save longer, 4 years longer. But you don't need 20% down to buy. If you're going to live in the house, you can do an FHA loan with 3.5% down. You can also get gift monies if relatives are willing to give you, lend you some money. So 3.5% down is a far cry from 20% down. Depending on where you are in the country, there's USDA loans. There's a lot of first-time homebuyer loans where you won't need any money down. There's also many loans where you can get closing assistance. You can ask the sellers to pay for closing. There's just so many ways to do it. Just hate to see people not do it at all. Of course, you have to be, you know, be careful in what you do. There's also some loans out there that will let you finance your student debt into the mortgage. Now, every single situation needs to be checked out thoroughly because you want to make sure it's a win-win, not necessarily paying on a student loan for 30 years, but if you plan, you could pay that off within 15 years. There is just so much out there, and there's different programs to teach you what to pay off first and what not to pay off. I could go on and on and on and on and on for ad nauseum, and that's not what I want to do. But I just want you to think about it. Get in, even if it's a small amount. Different rates and different things. There's just so many ways to do this. The lure of bright lights, this is what is Investopedia says. This is one of the reasons that millennials do not want to buy, that they continue to flock to cities. Pew Research found that 88% of millennials live in metropolitan areas. Whether it's the social movement or the lure of greater work opportunities, millennials are moving towards regions with a higher proportion of renters compared to homeowners, pushing up rental prices in the urban centers. where they prefer to live. So far, millennials seem unwilling to commute or own a backyard. According to BuildZoom, new home sales fell within 5 miles of centers of the 10 most densely cities have exceeded 2000 levels, but they're about 50%. Oh, but the sales are about 50% below 2000 levels, 10 miles outside of the city. So a lot of millennials want to live in the city. You know, you can plan, though. You could still plan and get something, live in it a while, and then rent it out. There's certain loans that let you do that right away after maybe a month or two. There's certain loans where you have to commit longer. So always make sure you're reading the fine print. You're getting great advice. But there's just so many ways to do some of this and not invest, because you don't want to wake up one day and not have any investment. Of course, with your work, you may have the 401ks and the Roth IRAs and other ways to do it, but it's still important to do it. There's the money side, which is really important. You have to qualify, but don't assume. Go ahead and check it out with a lender before you assume that you cannot qualify. Millennials are not trusting as many people, it says. It says millennials' misgivings about the lack of relatable experts are not within merit, said a New York City-based financial planner, Douglas Bonemouth, out of Squaw. Listen to in. It says the average age of a financial advisor is 55 years old. Well, to a millennial, 55 is pretty old. There are more financial advisors over the age of 70 than there are under 30. So maybe part of that is that, you know, we've just got, there's so many ways to do things now that I just think you owe it to yourself to do it. And I wish they would bring that up in the colleges, which many are. Avoiding this, a lot of them are avoiding the stock market entirely. They don't even want to deal with anything that has risky returns. Stock market, I mean, again, if you make a plan and you're conservative, I was talking to a broker with Edward Jones yesterday, a financial broker, and he mentioned a fund. I'm not going to mention the funds here because we're not supposed to do that, but he mentioned a fund that in like 2003, if somebody put $10,000 in it, right now it would be worth over $90,000. So, you know, that's still good to invest in and do that. Millennials are missing the boat on investing also. There's a company called Stash. CEO David Ronick says, Stash is a startup company pitching itself as simple solutions for unsophisticated investors, allowing users to invest as little as $5 in fractions of exchange-traded fund shares. The companies charge a dollar a month or 0.25% annually on balances higher than $5,000, though that's on top of the expense ratios of the underlying funds. Trading app Robinhood doesn't allow for such small investments in ETFs, but is fee and commission free. These new technologies might appeal to younger investors who are particularly conscious of expenses and transparency and play a high premium on their free time. So, you know, I mean, if you can invest $5, $10, and you can't, it's a no-brainer, right? So it says there's a lot of smartphone apps out there to guide, which you really want to talk to an investor as well and make a plan. It's so easy to just not do it. So I know I'm harping, and I don't want to say that I'm just pushing it, but I think you might as well check it out, because don't want to definitely think that you can't do it. And investing in markets on the rise is easy, but navigating rougher periods is where you need the advisors to speak to, so that you don't get in trouble. If neither apps nor advisors sound appealing, there's still other ways for millennials to gain stock market exposure. The simplest and most tax-efficient vehicle for a young investor is a retirement account, just like your workplace 401k. There's also Roth IRAs, where you can put your money in after you pay the taxes on it. You can't take it out until 59 and a half without penalties, but I'm going to tell you, that comes really fast. And so even if you have discretionary money, you might as well should be doing something with something instead of just not doing it at all. So millennials want their freedom. They love life, it looks like. It says I'm just looking at different sites. And social media is playing a huge role with millennials. 62% of millennials say that if a brand engages with them on social networks, they're most likely to become a loyal customer. So things have changed completely, and I think I don't want to speak for everybody, but there's a lot of millennials out there that are making six figures, and it makes sense. So somebody might think, well, I'm in San Francisco, and there's no way I can afford a home, but what about investing in some other areas and getting a little bit into it? So it's there's a lot of reasons, and I think a lot of people are just putting things off, actually, and waiting. But it's worth it to take that. It's worth it to schedule an hour, just some time. You can fill out realtyuniversal.com, and we can put you in touch with some people that can give you information on buying and selling. You know, if you're not married yet and people say, hey, I don't want to buy, it's good to buy. And then when you get married, just buy another one together or move in together. And just there's so many things to do to protect yourself as well. Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, there's real estate investments, everything there too. You always have to be careful you're not getting scammed. You don't want to give out your personal information, and I don't have to tell a millennial that. You know those sites better than I do, it's definitely due. So even if you're starting your own business, putting your money in there, it's never too late to do it, and it's definitely worth it to start thinking about it now rather than just put it off and put it off. So I'm looking at what other reasons could there be that millennials don't want to invest. CNBC has stated that they did a survey. They polled over 500 Americans aged 18 to 34. Also found that female millennials, this is a little bit older now, were especially turned off by investing. 3 in 4 young women versus 60% of young men said investing was confusing, which totally makes sense, right? Completely makes sense. You can even download the audiobooks and listen just to start learning, you know, and go to a seminar. I know everybody's busy, but just start learning about it. So 60% of millennial women said that they believe the typical investor is an old white man. Oh, my goodness. And about half of the men, millennial men, agreed. It's funny. No, but more than 80% are not invested in the stock market. Wow. And over 40% feel like they don't have enough money and they don't know how. And 13% blame it specifically on student debt. And student debt is high, but like there's different loans like for doctors and lawyers and other people. For a lot of you guys and women that want to live in the cities, there's a lot of programs all across the country, they give you money to buy a home in the city. If you're a fireman, if you're a teacher, you know, there's just, the list could go on and on and on. And so there's really no excuse to not check it out and even start, even if you're starting small, and put yourself still be in a freedom position so that you can do it. And if you want to move, you can rent it out. There's lots of things you can do. So that's my 2 cents, but I did want to put it out there because we have so many things going on, and I'm telling you, you're going to get older before you know it, and it just makes sense, especially if there's ways that you can do this and keep yourself liquid. It's very smart to diversify. So you have a little bit in the stock market, a little bit in real estate, you know, have some money for a rainy day, you know. I'd like to find out other reasons. What other reasons are people not wanting to do it? You know, it's just because we all need money. We haven't figured out a way to not need money here. And so even if you have your job and you're making, you can definitely put away a little bit or not have the latte every day or do something. There's just so many ways to do this and leverage. I'm looking on here. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Mix, and you're listening to Realty Universal Radio. Well, I'm looking up. There's different books, and there's so many ways to learn things on millennials and interested in investing. And it says a common denominator that can be found among the world's wealthiest and most successful persons is that they attribute many of their accomplishments to constantly investing in their knowledge base. So, you know, read those, listen to those audio books. I found, for me, I like to brush up on my French. I was born in France, French citizen, American citizen, but, you know, it gets stale when you're not using it. I like to listen to quantum physics and all these different things. I just love to learn and learn and learn, but, and I'd always done it through books, but now I'm finding I'm loving to be able to throw on the headset, listen to audio because I can hear it in the car, I can hear it when I'm working out. So you have all this extra time to do things and learn about it. About 8 hours of Warren Buffett's day was spent reading, or is spent reading. That equates to about 500 pages a day, but now you can do it with audiobooks as well, right? So I'm going to look. There's some books that they recommend for millennials too. Berkshire Hathaway has letters to Shaw shareholders. I think you guys might find that boring, but maybe not. Investment Philosophy is a book that's good to read. Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki. If you heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he gives comparisons of somebody who doesn't invest and the others who do. Avalid, Businessman, Billionaire, Prince by Riskon. He was the world's 34th richest man, and it says they constantly, it's self-made man. There's a biography. You read biographies, financing. There's just so much, and you have apps you can download. I'm not taking time in your day and saying, oh, my gosh, do this or do that. It's just that it's worth it. You can just learn some quick things, and then you forget about it. You know, if you put your money, some in mutual funds or put a little bit in an IRA, and then you just leave it alone, and you'd be amazed how that can grow. Now, yeah, you'll hear, well, the stocks crashed, this crashed, but it's there's discretionary income that we all have, right? Absolutely. And so I could go on and on because there's so many books and so many tapes and so many different things you can do. But just start with a little bit. And as far as home buying, I think everybody should own a home. Of course, I've been in real estate for years and years. I'm an old fogey, been in real estate probably before many of you had been born. But it's definitely worth it, absolutely worth it. So what other reasons aren't millennials buying? I'm racking my brain to see what other reasons people are not buying. It looks like most of it really is that people are just don't have the knowledge or they're afraid. They say they don't have any money, but, you know, how many things are you spending on other stuff that you could even put away? Can you put away $1 a day, $30 a month? Can you put away $5 a day? I mean, you can invest with that little bit. You absolutely can invest. And I know there's a lot of college debt, which is not good. But let's see. I'm looking this up here and see. Okay. So here it says, why aren't millennials saving? It says one thing, the recession made them hate banks. Well, don't hate any of this stuff. Just have it. You got to change your mindset. You don't have to do anything, but I really would love to see you, millennials and people knowing that you can do this. This doesn't. It's definitely a doable thing. So here's interesting. 12 ways that millennials differ from boomers. Driving a car was once a teen counted the days until they could get behind a wheel. A lot of millennials don't care about it, driving. Using a landline, well, I got that. Many aren't going to ever want to use a landline when they're a millennial. Eating a drumstick, buying a house, getting hitched, keeping your salary secret, saving the planet, getting dressed up for work. Now, a lot of millennials do want to save the planet, right? And are really, I see that you really get, millennials really get pumped up for good causes that really make sense. And that, my hat's off to you for that because that's awesome. So I'm going to look at millennial savings habits might shock you in a good way. This is on Fool.com. And it says, millennials tend to get a bad rap as a generation that neglects to save money. But a news report on February 5th, 2020, this is from the Motley Fool, but a news report from Bank of America, this is on Motley Fool, reveals that 73% of millennials are in fact saving money in some capacity. But that's not all. Among those who are saving, 59% have more than $15,000 socked away, and an impressive 24% with savings have $100,000 more to brag about. So what are they saving for? This says 75% for retirement, 51% are building an emergency fund, 42% for travel, 32% for buying a home, so that's 68% that aren't, 27% are saving for their children's education. Well, that's cool. We all need emergency money, it says, and then home, vehicle, da-da-da-da. And Social Security cannot sustain the typical senior by itself. Saving for education is important. So the only exception is travel, which clearly falls into a different category than the items above. Most notice that above percentages total more than 100, what I just mentioned. So that is a good thing that some people are doing it. And it's just catching up to your peers. The fact that 70% of millennials are saving money in some capacity is very encouraging. At the same time, it says 27% are not saving money at all. If you fall into the latter camp, it's imperative that you start making some lifestyle changes. Just stop a latte, one or two a week or whatever, for retirement and emergencies. It says follow a budget. That way you'll know what you're spending. It's really interesting. If you write down everything you spend every day, you may be amazed and go, oh, my gosh, I had no idea I was spending that kind of money. There's a lot of programs out there, and we work with one, too, that you can actually plug in and get this software, and it'll tell you what to pay down first, what not to pay down, and how to save monies and sock it away. Follow a budget. And then you know where the money goes. You still have to enjoy yourself and do things. I am not by any means saying don't enjoy. You want to enjoy. If you're not saving money because you really can't afford to and have no reasonable expenses to cut, then it could be you could get a second job. And you're thinking, what? But it is good to just make sure you have some extra flexibility there. There's a lot of online companies. We have the Uber now, is the Uber, Lyft, and I think there's others too people are doing sometimes in their spare time. I take Ubers quite a bit with the traveling I do with conventions and the work, and it's when I'm in different states. And I can't tell you how many people have had like these long careers, and now they're just doing it part-time. One gentleman I met in Las Vegas had a business, a bakery business. They had a booming business, but they finally retired and wanted to travel, and he does Uber just so that he can – he said his father was visiting from Puerto Rico, and he can spend time with him because he's retired now and he does things. So there's just so many different ways to make that extra little bit of money. I'm just mentioning it because it's definitely worth it. So much to look about, so much to learn, and even just give yourself 15 minutes a day to learn, and I guarantee you it's going to pay off in the long run. And be the different ones that do work on it and make a difference in the crowd. It's definitely worth it. So let's see what else I can find here. We're almost finished. We're almost over the show today. It goes by so fast. Millennials, let's see. So we've got millennials' buying habits. I want to see what people are spending on. Millennials are also using subscription services to replace regular shopping trips to grocery stores and other bricks and mortars. During a UPS study of millennial shopping habits, only 11% of millennials reported that they will make their next purchase in a physical retail store. You see, definitely online, which makes sense. And it says, here's 45 statistics. We're going to not be able to go through all these, but I wanted to just see what it says. Millennial spending. There's a lot of, facts. Millennials, also referred to Generation Y, are currently between the ages of 20 and 38 and one of the first generations to spend their formative years online. That's true. You've made it through, like you've always had, online since you were little. At 73 million people, millennials count for a quarter of the population of the United States, making them the largest living generation. Like every generation, millennials are characterized by sharing similar world views, habits, and traits. Millennials were born between 1982 and 2000. Millennials account for 83.1 million of the U.S. population. Over 40% of millennials are parents. Oh, I didn't know that. 88% of millennials live in metropolitan areas. You love the cities. 34% of millennials have a bachelor degree or higher. So it says their average millennials' average yearly expenditures total around $47,112. Millennials spend together with over $600 billion in the United States in 1 year. As many millennials are graduating from college with financial responsibilities, including debt, they have a growing obligation to act more responsible about it with their money. Wow. So it looks like they spend two-thirds of millennials spend two-thirds of the amount that Generation X's and Baby Boomers spend on entertainment. Well, that's good. Says millennials use coupons and have preference towards digital formats. Shoppers spend $600 billion, they said, in the last year. Oh, wow. So it said their average income is $56,000 before taxes. And it mostly all the shopping habits are online. So here we go. So, see, you can do it, and there's plenty of people doing it. Just education is good and start today. And it's worth it. It's very much worth it because tomorrow's going to come before you know it. And you can still have a good time. Go out there, enjoy yourself, and live the life you love. But live the life you love, but still have some time, some things left over for the future. So it looks like you millennials definitely, definitely do most of it online. Can start something new. Lots of good businesses to put online too, and help people. Podcasts are becoming so common. I've started doing this over 8.5 years ago, and now many people are doing it. You can also learn how to make extra money by online posting ads, sharing your knowledge. There's just so much you can do. It doesn't take a long time to learn any of this either. You can actually put out your own videos. With, you know, do your YouTubes, just a lot of different ways to make money these days. So I am going to sign off and wish everybody peace and hope you have a wonderful time. So for those of you listening, the agents and brokers in general, we all know millennials. So if you're not a millennial listening, you know a millennial, your brother, your sister, your children, get them going on it if you can. Just start if they're not. Some may be surprising. You must be maybe doing a lot. But the statistics are showing that many, many aren't. And it's definitely time to jump on the bandwagon, get involved, and get that compound interest going for your older years as well. To everybody out there, I wish you peace. Have a wonderful, wonderful month.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.